average. It's that less than average below par radio show with Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Stupid management.
The people are real. The cases are real. This is
Tom and Ollie.
I just called to say.
If the Flash, being a superhero, can run at the speed of light, is it not possible for him to run around a tree and have sex with himself?
It's brilliant.
Deep thought of the week.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, that's not fitting. Ollie, this is... Yeah, that's right. Drive by Shannon Noel.
Oh, yeah? Why is that, Tom?
Because I have just purchased a car. Oh. That's right. Let's all celebrate the fact I'm going to be in 30 grand's worth of debt.
Sorry, it's been a long weekend. I've been away from the radio for about five, 6 days.
Yeah, it's been
Easter. Yeah. And but you start the show with a song about you buying a car.
Sorry?
I mean...
What's wrong with that?
The self-indulgence. Okay, well,
what's
come
wrong with
on.
That?
You spent a lot of money, so tell us about it.
Subaru XV, baby. That's right, Shannon. It will take me there. It'll take me there with eyesight technology.
What, between the north side and work here? That's a real long drive. Where are you going to go with it? You going to get off-road?
I'm going to go out back.
Going to go glamping in my new Subaru XV.
I'll go out back. I'll get amongst it, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Look, there's more in this. Before we get too far into it, we've got David O'Doherty on the show in about an hour's time with his little keyboard.
That ain't all, Tom. Comedians-wise, we've got David, as you say, but Guy Montgomery as well in the next 20 minutes. So
he's an award-winning comedian, improviser and screenwriter, if you don't know who he is.
And a young chap as well. So good to have some young blokes on the show doing comedy.
Although, he's from New Zealand.
Well, you love Kiwis.
No, that's
you've got
true.
A long history of Kiwis.
That's true.
But he's not here now, so is your car
going to... He's supposed to be here.
Your car's going to take precedence as if
you're
we...
late guy?
As if we care.
Well, here's the thing. With buying this car, Ollie, the last moment of buying this car shocked me.
Oh, God.
It shocked me. And up next, I'll tell you what went wrong.
Oh, tell me now.
I'll tell you after the song. Oh, Tom and Ollie, God. Triple M. Why Can't This Be Love, Van Halen, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Back for another week. A little Monday off. We'll have Thursday off this
back
week.
For another week. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's a big week.
It's a huge week.
Well, it's hard for you.
2 days.
You don't have a huge work ethic. But hey, you've bought a car.
Yeah, well, before we get into that, if you or someone you know knows Guy Montgomery from New Zealand, he's a comedian, maybe just get in contact because we actually don't know whether he's coming on the show or not yet. So, producer Belle, great work, mate. Jeez.
She's trying her best, apparently. She just can't find him.
Yeah, can't find the comedian
She can't work magic.
Down. She could.
Okay.
And if she could, she'd be in Gryffindor. With me.
Hufflepuff, mate.
No.
You're in Hufflepuff. Don't forget that.
No.
You're not brave.
Hey, Ollie, guess what?
What?
Bought a car.
That's great, because I went to a car park this morning and I couldn't see it. I saw your old Hyundai Getz.
Oh, sure. I've still got the bitchy Getz. Don't worry about that.
So where's your car?
When you buy a new car, you don't get it straight away. Did you know that?
Really? I thought you'd, when they say drive away,
yeah,
no
that's
more
what
to
I
pay,
thought.
Don't you just drive away?
That's what I thought. So I was expecting to leave the dealership today with the brand new Subaru XV. Oh, this is, I'm sorry about
very
that
noisy
microphone
stuff.
Noise.
And the ads also say stuff like, you know, rolling off the shelf or whatever it is, the production line.
$29,990 drive away with free air. I mean, that's what you usually hear,
yeah?
isn't it?
Drive away in a week.
Well, they've got until the 30th of April. That's what the contract I signed said. The 30th of April.
Tell us about the contract, because that's interesting.
Well, no, it's not. It's not the contract that's interesting.
Sarcastic, obviously. Get to the good stuff, because what happened?
Well, we plan to meet today at work at 4 p.m.
Yep.
It got to 10 to 4, and I was about to go ahead with the sale.
At 10 to 4? You lied to me and Belle. You told us, I'm going to be 10 minutes late.
Yeah, well, I was
you
half
never
an gonna hour
be,
late.
Yeah.
Well, the financing guy was like, yeah, we can make this happen. I'm the quickest at it. But then had a story for me about a guy with the same last name as me.
Oh.
So you weren't that quick, buddy, but quick enough to give me a good deal. And thank you to the guys down at Subaru. You're the best.
If they're listening, thank you very much.
But did the whole thing very quickly to get here at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So Didn't really read the contract.
Oh, really?
Signed up to the financing rate. And yeah. He literally said a figure. So let's say $400. He went, how about $400 a month? Right? He said that.
Yeah.
And I went, sure. Yeah, sounds great. After a bit of backwards and forwards, went, yep, sounds great. He then gets the card machine out and goes, all right, well, let's just put your deposit down now. And I went, holy
straight into it.
How my heck can we go? I don't know what car I've got yet. Like, can we just go through a couple more things?
But you've chosen the car, though.
Chosen the car, chosen a couple of extras, but it was just straight into it.
Right.
So I think they lock you down pretty quickly.
I'm surprised.
Once you go yes, I think they lock you down.
I was going to say, I mean, if the story was going for a long time, I'm surprised you didn't just fade him down. You know, that's normally your go-to. You could have just done a bit of a bip, bip, bip. I'm just going to bring you down, bring your levels down there.
Could have chucked a joke in there and it would have been much better.
Yeah.
It would have kept me involved. But I was surprised about that. I found it under time pressure, you know?
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like you're in a bit of a panic. I don't want to panic you any further, but I just think, let's think about this for a second.
Yeah.
You know, this show is, we have questions.
We do.
133353.
Yeah.
No one's got any questions about your purchase because who cares, frankly?
Oh, what do you mean, who cares?
You care.
It's a new Subaru XV with EyeSight technology and Apple CarPlay. Android Auto if you've got a shitty Android phone.
All right. Well, I love the song, but I don't love the story behind it. But what I do think could be good, Tom, is on 133353, how quickly did you break something new? As a bit of a warning sign to you, maybe you can learn from this. There could be some stories out there of people who have purchased new things like a car. And of course, if they've really cocked it up in the first few days or weeks, you want to hear about that, don't you?
No.
You want to hear about
it. I'm scared about rolling out of the dealership.
Now, whether it's a car, whether it's a brand new lovely table or a house or...
an iPhone, an iPad, an iMac, an
Apple
Pro.
Anything expensive.
An Apple TV, an Apple Watch.
Did you buy something brand new and break it pretty damn quickly? Did you do the damage to a product that you've just bought?
Ooh, actually, I've got one of these. I've got a story for you.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay. You could give us another little
No, we've got
hook
3
about...
seconds. I'll do it up next. Oh. 133353. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Tonic. Ooh, I'd love a gin with tonic. Open up your eyes. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Was that the campus thing I've ever said? Or...
Ooh, I'd love a gin with tonic.
Or have I said gay things on this show? Being the show homo, have
said
I said gay things?
A lot gay things.
Okay.
A lot more gay things.
Mm.
But things aren't gay. I mean, let's be clear. Things aren't just gay, but...
Oh. Saying, ooh, I'd love a gin with tonic. Ooh. I'd say I'm pretty homo for doing that.
Some botanicals. Mate, get a VB up here like me and my mates.
Literally?
Not okay. Oh, no. Too early for that, Tom.
I do know some friends.
We have got some comedians coming up next. We might switch the order around and get David O'Doherty in here pretty soon.
Jump to Club 80 or something.
Tom, you're already losing half the audience by just talking about your car incessantly.
Oh, okay.
So let's not lose the other half with the GNT stuff. But
don't you dare.
So you've got a new suit.
Mate, it's my sexuality and I'll yell it from the mountaintops.
From the clubs. From the gay clubs.
Oh, true. Can't hear me in there, though. Lots of screaming.
You're going to yell it from the clubs, at least wear a bit of a gag or something first.
Oh.
So muffles.
It's part of my outfit.
Now, we're talking about your new car and I just want to make the conversation a bit more humorous and fun. So what I've done is... we've switched it around to 133353. How quickly did you break something new? We had this chat a while ago, and one of the stories was a guy who bought a brand new Harley. Do you recall this?
Well, don't say it, because you're going to put the level high, you know?
Yeah, but it's a secondhand story, so it's okay.
Okay.
Harley Davidson, and...
because I've got a story.
And for you. It's going to ruin it for you. It is going to ruin it for you, I'm sorry. And he dropped it in the store. He knocked it in store and he had to pay for the brand new Harley and they're worth like 80K plus.
133353 if you've broken something new.
What's your story, Tom?
Watch. I had the Apple Watch for like a little bit. Yeah. For like half an hour.
Oh, and you broke it?
Yeah. Don't you remember this?
You scratched it.
No, I literally was changing the band on it and was walking from my bedroom to the lounge room. And between that is an outside area because I live in a bungalow.
Yeah.
And I dropped it.
On the ground.
I dropped it on the ground and the whole face chipped and stuff. So I returned it and got a new one.
But isn't that your fault?
2-week return policy.
Even if you smash it.
Don't know. They just returned it. They allowed me to return it. So.
God, they're good guys at Apple, aren't they?
Mate, they're the best.
I mean, you love them. Now, Oliver, you've done some damage to a brand new thing.
Yeah, here you go.
Good.
So back in the day when I was 10 or 11 years old, Christmas Day, got a brand new bike off my dad and managed to get hit by a car that morning on my bike.
Oliver!
Yeah. And my parents were divorced, so I got a present off my mum. She had one of those awesome flip cars, remote control flip cars.
Oh, yeah.
That afternoon, I drove it into the pool, so I destroyed both both my toys and in the one day on Christmas Day.
That is really like one of the worst days as a kid. I'm sure you, it's still a thing for you, isn't it? You still remember it?
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty in the memory bank there, but I ended up okay at the accident. The actual driver was in more shock than I was. She got treated by the ambulance and I was, went home.
What? She was treated and you weren't?
Yeah, I ended up underneath the front tyre. Luckily, no injuries. I was pretty lucky, actually.
Oh, just a strong
kid. The bike was destroyed.
Right. That'll ruin Christmas. I've ruined Christmas, or my dad ruined Christmas one year when he got me a PlayStation 2 instead of a GameCube.
Oh, what? But that's way
cried
better. GameCubes aren't cool.
Yeah, but I was a Nintendo kid.
Oh.
And I really wanted the GameCube because it had Luigi's Mansion on it. You know?
That could be the thing you've said.
What?
The
gays thing. What? Why? Because Luigi's a big homo.
No, I don't know. That's just a shit game, surely.
Oh. No, hey, Ben.
Hey.
Hey. What did you do? Damage to it that was new, Ben?
It was the first car I ever bought. Broke it on day one.
No. I don't want to hear
stories.
This, Ben. No.
Yeah, Ben.
No, you want to hear it. You got to hear it. Yeah, no, it was brand new. Previously, I'd kind of half owned a car with my brother, but this was the first one that I'd paid for.
Yeah.
I think within about the first 2 hours, I drove it home, ducking down the street to get milk and bread. Merging lanes. There was a stationary motorbike in front of me.
Yeah.
As I checked my blind spot, foot jumped on the accelerator, car jumped forwards, and
hit the bike.
Yeah.
That'll be you, Tom. That'll be you.
Oh, come on, mate.
It's a real danger.
Well, no. I don't want any more of these stories.
Okay. I got one. I got a cricket bat when I was about 10 years old. Yep. A new one. It wasn't a great bat, but Ricky Ponting signed it on Christmas Day. Because I saw him at this racing event in Tasmania.
On Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day. He signed it.
He was working on Christmas Day?
Ricky Ponting?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Tassie boy, so he was just around. He was just at the races.
That's good.
The Longford Cup, small event. Yeah. Next day, or overnight, the dog chewed up the bat. Oh. That's shattering. I cried.
That's a shame.
I cried.
I would.
Anyway, it won't be compared to the tears that you cry when you crash your car. I mean, that'll be.
Do you want any more of these stories?
A real worry.
I don't.
You don't? I reckon there's some more in this. I reckon Bell's still busy on the phone, so let's keep him coming in.
Yeah, good.
How quickly did you damage
was acting.
Or break something new?
I actually did want more of those stories. 133353.
Thirsty.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. You're my best friend. Oh, you're not going to say anything to that?
No.
Okay, Queen.
Just do your job.
Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We'll get David O'Dodd in here. Oof. About the next 5 or 6 minutes.
Funny man, funny keyboard man.
Yeah.
Can tap those keys on that electric keyboard.
Can't he?
He sure can.
He can't he.
Tom, we're talking about your car, but we've moved on swiftly from your car. Your Subaru
whoa.
XV.
It's not a Swift.
Suzuki Swift.
It's not a Swift.
I thought it was.
It's a very masculine, very manly Subaru XV. Yes, I will be taking that off-road. I will be using the manual steering wheel paddles. To change gears sometimes?
There is a strong stereotype around Subarus, particularly the one you've got, that a certain segment of society, particularly ladies with shorter hair, do love the Subaru. Are you across this?
You're talking about the other radio show that does gags around that?
Oh, it's not. I'm sure they do because it's just common.
Yeah.
It's a common thing.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, are you fussed about that stereotype? Or?
Well, I'm the male equivalent of the lesbian, so I don't care.
You've got short hair, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're owning it.
Well, I care whether lesbians own Subarus or not.
I want to make sure when you bought,
you're
buying this car.
If you care about that,
you're buying this car.
You're an absolute bigot.
No, but
you can get the.
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking the question. We have questions, Tom. I'm asking you if you're buying this car.
It doesn't sound like I give a crap.
Well, potentially it does.
Oh, mate.
Oh, you're getting it worked up a bit now, which is it looks bad for you. Played your own sound effect there. It's not me playing that. But good on you. How quick did you break something that was brand new is that question. Tia.
You broke the fun.
What did you break?
My dad's 3-day-old ride-on lawnmower.
Oh, not the lawnmower.
Yep, ripped the deck off it by running into a pole.
Oh, you were driving it and you massacred it?
Yep, pretty much.
How old were you?
12 at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's why 12-year-olds shouldn't be running anything motorized.
Oh. Jeez.
Sorry, Killjoy. I'm being a dad.
So your dad, well, your dad allowed you to write it to you. Watching along, was he?
He was watching, and then all of a sudden there was a big crash, and the lawnmower stopped, and yeah. I've never seen a man run out of the house so quickly. Yeah.
Did he cry?
No, he was just not impressed.
Is it because you couldn't reach the brake?
No, I could reach the brake. I just didn't pay attention and just didn't see the pole there.
Kept going, ran into the pole, you know? Why not? Love it. Hey, Ace.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. What's your story about breaking something quick that's new?
Yeah, it's not so much a broken as lost. My dad, for his 21st, actually got a $20,000 Rolex from his mum.
Oh, wow.
She had a bit of coin, so she thought she'd splash out. And because it was the first day he'd worn it, he hadn't got it resized properly. And after that, we live on the Nepean River, so he went for a swim in the river, and it slipped straight off his wrist, straight to the bottom, never saw it again.
Oh, my God.
He owned it for about an hour. Yeah.
What was the retribution from the mum?
He told her it was stolen, so he got away with that one. But that caused a few headaches in itself. But she wasn't too impressed that he didn't have it by lunch that day.
insurance fraud as well. It's a tough one, isn't it, doing all that?
Hey, Robert.
How you going? Yeah, look, mine was, we went overseas. We were in the States for about 11 weeks, and we drove all over the place over there and everything. And we flew back into Sydney Airport. We had like a 6-hour layover.
Yeah.
So I said to my wife, I'll hire a car and we'll go and visit some friends. So I strolled down there and hired a car, and it's brand spanking new. And now as I drove out, instead of looking left, I look right, and the brain just disappeared in front of my eyes. It was not there anymore. The cab took the front of it straight out. I don't know if you know Sydney Airport, but I think my wheels just went into the gutter, and woof, it was gone.
Man.
And a non-English speaking taxi driver was not impressed, mate.
Well, how'd you know? Just not from the words, but from the face.
Oh, it was just all hand signals and everything, mate. Yeah. They had to hold him back. Hand signals. Four or five of them.
The good old non-English speaking taxi drivers.
Very common.
Yeah. That's why I don't know why you need to refer to a non-English speaking taxi driver as the non-English.
Give Robert a break. He's from Brisbane, which is awesome. Good to have Robert on the show there.
Hey, guess who's up next?
Who?
David O'Doherty!
Get him in here with that keyboard. Yeah, I reckon. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, why not? This is fun, isn't it? Doing radio?
This song again?
Yeah.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Like the kid from Uncle Buck.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
They've got questions.
That's my job.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
We're the comedian's second home.
Tom. We are their second home. They love to put their feet up on our couch.
Not their first home. Unless they're like an international comedian, they already have a second home. I feel like we'd still be their second home. They would also just have a third home.
Well, like a hostel, really, for backpackers. I mean, not backpackers, for comedians. And that's why tonight we've
got to bring up a hostel.
A double header.
You know my current situation.
Oh, well, your boy space friend is living in a hostel / is homeless. Yeah.
No, he's not homeless. Well, he's just living.
It's tertiary homelessness, but
anyway,
that's okay.
Next up, let's get David O'Doherty in here. He's sitting out there on the couch. Come on, David. Come in here. Set up your little keyboard, and we'll get him on the show.
Good stuff.
ARIA award-winning Going of Views now. Let me down easy. Tom and Ollie, Triple M.
Tom, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is well underway.
Cool. You know we belong together. You and I forever and ever.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, hold there, because I was going to do an intro. I won't say your name. I was going to say we've got a keyboard in here from 1986.
Yeah.
Can you guess which comedian is in here?
Sounds like David O'Doherty, if I was to pick someone.
Oh, no, it's not.
No.
Elton John has started to do comedy, guys.
Tiny keyboards. Hold me closer, tiny keyboards.
That's a good one.
The song of his, then. I don't think you realize how big Home and Away was in Ireland. I know no one cares about this in Australia.
Yeah,
no. I've heard it's huge.
Yeah, so there's a scene. If you want to look a funny YouTube clip, Ireland qualified for the 2012 European Championships in football.
Yeah,
and we played Croatia, and they have proper songs that the fans sing, where it's like ha ha, and they go hee ho hoo ha ha.
Yeah,
and
war cries.
Yeah, and this is on the tram on the way to the game. The Irish fans all needed a song. We have a few songs, but nothing with any verses. So suddenly everyone starts spontaneously singing the theme from Home and Away. which is a very beautiful, also with an aggressive team you're playing against.
Yeah.
You're acknowledging we need you. We belong together to play this game.
That's a nice message.
Yeah, it's a nice, no fights. Never any fights if you sing the theme from Home and Away.
Yeah, good. I knew that Britain loved Neighbours. I didn't know Ireland was equally as
on board. Ireland's not so hot on Neighbours. Ireland was more of a Home and Away vibe. Yeah,
okay, there. Right.
Yeah, which just disappoints me. So last week was the gala of the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
I wanted them to rename it the Flaming Gala, which is what Alf used to call it. Yeah.
Well, Alf's everywhere right now. He's doing ads for some...
Hot sauce.
Is it a hot sauce? No, it's an app company, isn't it?
Wow.
Alf doesn't know about apps. That is no product synergy there.
I know. It's a strange sell.
That's why it's easy to create a website. That's what they're selling.
Oh, no.
If Alf can do it, anyone can do it. Yeah. There you go. There's a freebie.
freebie for Alf.
Even though none of us know what the name of the product is.
Go and buy his hot sauce. I'm sure it's good.
That happens so often with ads, though. My mum be like, that ad is a brilliant ad. And I'll be like, what's it for? And she's like, I've no idea. I just enjoyed whatever it was.
Oh, love ads. Radio. It's so good.
This is
Ads Talk, your show, where we just discuss our favorite ads.
Do you have any ad jingles? Have you ever written an ad jingle on the keys, on Keeby?
I've written a lot of songs about myself.
Okay.
What's my name? David O'Doherty. That's an ad for myself. No, I've never
soft
done...
sell.
The killer, the one that kills me is it's on loads of ads here for boring stuff,
okay,
like insurance and things like that.
Yeah.
There's like, what sort of music will we have? And it's always this slightly sinister music because it's so nice. It's this music here. You know,
yeah,
it basically means this company is going to rip you off. It's going to steal all your grandparents' savings.
Yeah.
You know, banking is about friendship. And it's like, no, it's not. That's not what banking is about.
That music says, nothing to see here. Don't delve too deep. But let's just keep moving along.
Yeah, that. I always, you know, like YouTubers who have like the music just playing in the background for hours. Someone had to record that.
Yeah. So, well, a lot of times Tom and I do our own videos on the iPhone, and iMovie has one of the tunes. It's just called Simple.
Simple,
That's the audio, and it's basically that vibe of just...
We like Simple.
Yeah, well, get me. I'll blast you out some sweet beats.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Well, something like this. That was some jazz.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Now, if we describe a vibe to you, can you?
Is this a section of the show called "Describe a Vibe"? If so, I'm definitely into it.
Like, I mean, Tom and I, the show here on Triple M, obviously a bit of rock and roll feel to it, but it's also cheeky. I mean, how could you blend cheeky with a bit of rock and roll?
So what you do there is you go saxophone in the orchestra, and bossa nova in the rhythm. This is a bossa nova tune, guys.
You press play.
So then we're gonna amp the tempo right up to just above mid. And so whatever I press now has to be the new theme music to this show.
Okay, great.
Tom, record this.
What if this was really, really good?
We'd use it. We'd use it.
We'll totally use it.
That's it.
I don't know how Triple M that is.
I don't know.
That was a guitar riff there. That was a
exactly. And then a lot of Brazilian people will be listening. The Brazilian population.
Yeah. And sambering.
And they'll be like, that is, oh, finally, our music is being respected on the radio.
Hey, so, David, do you mind sticking around just after this? Because we'd love to talk about your new show, You Have to Laugh.
Come on,
please. You've got a new show.
Do you have any free stuff to give me? If there's something free, you give me something.
We'll get you a beer.
I will. I don't want a beer.
We'll give you tickets to our comedy festival show called 1,000 Laughs.
Oh,
it's exciting.
Stick around, what, David O'Doherty's here. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom, we're still joined by comedy legend from Dublin. His name is David O'Doherty. He's got a keyboard, and if he's any true comedian that he's proven himself to be, he's going to burst in at any minute with a song. So I might just trail off here and.
We got, here's one for you.
Okay,
this is a duet.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the one thing I did ask you for, you guys, was Shakira. and you failed to supply her.
Triple M.
So the station generally.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be, I'll be covering. I've written a song especially for this.
Great.
A duet. So I'll perform it. I'll have to do Shakira's part.
Oh, okay.
And hopefully,
when you say duet, you mean the keyboard and you or one of us involved?
You guys just have to, well, you're going to be weeping. There we go. It's quite an emotional number. Here we go. Duet between me and Shakira without Shakira. It's a rainy night. I lie in bed, tucked up and warm, out of the storm. What's that? A knock at the door. Who could it be? I run down to see, and there, soaked to the skin, stands a tiny woman. My David, David, prince of everything. Let me touch your sexy body, let me feel your skin. I've traveled over oceans to get here to you, thinking of specific things that I'd like to do. So come on, let's not waste all day. I'm Shakira, let's get busy. I'll be honest, I'm filled with questions more than anything else. The first one being, yeah. Shakira, are you sure that you've got the right address? Yes, I am, David, and soon your balls I will caress. Oh. Shakira, how do you even know who I am? I watch your videos on YouTube, your albums in my van. You have a van? That's weird. Shakira, just think this might be some weird obsessive crush in your part that's gone awry. David, look at my hips, they do not lie.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yes. So we got, that's the elder one of this weird duo. I realized that, you know, this isn't going to work, you guys. I'm going to have to be the one who breaks it to her. I don't want to string her along.
No, okay. You can't string
Shakira
along.
She isn't that young. I mean, she's getting older as well.
We're all getting older.
Yeah.
If you think about it, we are getting older. Yeah. But I think I'm still like a year or two older than, than old Shakira.
That's too old for anything to happen.
Well, she was going out with that guy from Barcelona, the football team.
Oh,
as well,
the whole team.
Subtext.
I know you have to pronounce it Barcelona.
Oh.
I'm just, to the listeners, I've just...
You just sunk in.
Well, it's quite appropriate for being Shakira in this song. I've just hit a knob on the chair that has caused me to drop quite severely.
Caress the knob, you could say.
My ears have popped. Okay, Shakira. Grab a hold of your lusty horn. Can I say horn? Too late. I've said it already.
Yeah, do it.
For one moment. Think about this, you know? Supposing there was a vibe between us, what chance would we have? This is good advice to the listeners. Yeah. I'm away most of the year doing gigs, and so are you. So in order to see each other, we'd have to tour together. And they would be very weird gigs, to be honest. You in the Margaret Court Arena. Me in whatever dive I'm playing in at the time. But they are our dreams, Shakira. If we don't have dreams, what do we have? And she thinks, without dreams, then we just have sleep. And at that moment, a taxi pulls up. I totally Ubered the taxi. I'd be like, here, pick up this lady. She needs to go to the airport. And as she gets in, I think she has learned something from our time together.
What's she learned?
She sings. Now I completely see the point you're making. Even though my tiny, tiny heart is tiny breaking, I'll walk away and you forever miss. Please don't ever tell anyone about this. And I say, no, of course not. Or maybe just this one time.
Well done. Wow. That's very good.
It's quite, just give me a moment. It's quite an emotional song to do.
Oh, you so sorry. Well, while you're doing that, I mean, you should go check out David O'Doherty. He's playing at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival to the 22nd of April. Then he's heading to Perth, Sydney, Brisbane. Adelaide's already been, so don't worry about that.
No,
one.
It hasn't. Adelaide's the last one.
Oh, you are. It's 2nd of May. Cool. Oh, at the Royalty Theatre in Adelaide. Sorry, mate.
I'm still keen for that duet, though, as a live gig in a stadium. I would love to see that happen.
I mean, my career has to go very well and hers very poorly
for
the next few years, I think, for us to meet in the middle.
Potentially.
I should say, for tour tickets and info, go to davidodoherty.com. Yeah, that's probably what you want me to say.
Just come up to me. I'll be hanging out. I'll give you all the info.
Will you sell people tickets?
Bad at that. Because at the Edinburgh Fringe, you have to hand out flyers when you're starting out.
Yeah.
So you have to hand pick the people. You're meant to just hand like pieces of paper to everyone.
No.
But I would see the sort of people that I wanted at my gig.
Yeah.
So a lot of people would be like, oh, what is that? And I'd be like, nothing, not for you. not.
What kind of traits are you looking for or avoiding?
You're the sort of person who is not going to dig it, you know.
Well, hopefully you'll dig it. David O'Doherty, the show's called You Have to Laugh. Thank you so much for coming into Triple M.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Epic. Faith no more. Faith no more. No more faith, I would have called you banned. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We'll have comedian Guy Montgomery in here soon. It's just comedians coming in and out of the bloody Triple M doors, isn't it?
Well, you're not wrong, Tom.
So nice to have David O'Doherty in here. He's a bloody legend.
David was number one, Guy Montgomery number two, and you could call this next man number three because Jono is the third out of our four-cast comedy show we're doing right now, Tom.
It's called 1,000 Laughs. There's still tickets available. Four more shows from Thursday to Sunday this week if you are in Melbourne. We'd love to see you, and thank you for everyone who has already come up and said hello. No one has yet said the secret code word for the free beer.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Which involves Belle, our producer. But now we've spent all weekend with the guy. His name's Jono. He is a funny man. But Jono, you've also got another hidden talent, don't you?
I do have a dark side, boys.
And it's not just ripping into Far Cry 5 whenever you can, am I right?
It's not ripping into Far Cry 5. It's ripping into chicken farmers, in fact.
Now, this conversation is going to focus around eating challenges, and you're going to one tomorrow, which is exciting for you and for everyone.
Oh, it's very exciting.
I am. It's kind of a discovered talent. I didn't know that I was so good at eating challenges until me and a mate of mine decided to do one in Na Na Goon. And I happened to smash the record by about 15 minutes.
Oh, and what was that eating challenge? What was involved in that one, Jono?
That was a 1.5 kilo Palmer plus about half a kilo of chips. So,
that's
a lot of chicken.
How long did that take you?
Like 13 minutes.
And so after that effort, you were the Na Na Goon Palmy King.
But I was crowned. I was crowned the Na Na Goon Palmy King for eternity until I was knocked off probably a month or so ago with a bloke at 11 minutes.
Did you vom after doing something like that? How did you feel afterwards?
Look, I'll be honest with you, probably 2/3 of that meal is in the Na Na Goon parking lot, probably still being chipped away by the pigeons.
Oh God. Okay. Well, how do you think you're going to go with this next challenge?
Well, this next challenge, 2 kilos of Palmer. So been upped by about 500 grand.
Because normally, just to give some context, Jono, when you buy a bunch of breast chicken for your family, right, you get the packets and they're about a kilo, aren't they?
Well, it's literally at the supermarket, it says bulk pack is 1 kilo of chicken.
Yeah, I reckon you get four breasts, it's about a kilo, feeds the family. So you're going for 2 kilos of chicken with the added cheese and batter and
two
all that.
Two bulk packs.
Well, you can call me a bulk pack, boys.
I reckon you're in good shape, Jono. I mean, this weekend alone, doing the shows at the pub we were at, you had a few Palmers, as did I. I reckon you're in good shape.
Yeah, well, we'll see how we go, guys. I did have a few Palmers, but they're all going to be stacked on top of each other and shoved in my face tomorrow. So we'll see how we go.
Jesus.
Is there a title that comes with this challenge tomorrow?
I'm not sure, actually. Perhaps the Palmer Lord. I would like the Palmer God, the Palmy God.
The Palmy God, Big Jono.
What time are you going to be doing it?
I'm not sure. You'll have to talk to my agent, Matt, who has booked it in.
Okay. I'd like to have you live on a fader here so we could cross to you at any time.
Oh.
Is it for dinner or is it going to be lunch?
Lunch, I believe.
Right. We'll
get you to record it, Jono, and we'll catch up with how you go tomorrow.
Yeah, no drama. Sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm praying for you, the Palmy Lord.
Oh, well, please do. I'm going to need all the praying I can get.
Yeah, good. Nice. Tom, I reckon we should throw the phones open here.
Thanks, 1-3-5-3.
If you are yourself the conqueror of an eating challenge.
Are you a lord? Are you a lord, a king?
Are you a Palmer Lord? Are you a steak conqueror? Was there massive wieners of those hot dogs that people eat? Have you done a challenge? Even pizza? There's like slabs of pizza. Have you got your name up on the board somewhere? Have you got your... are you respected in some town for the best eater?
Have you prevailed at an eating challenge? 1-3-3-5-3, give us a call.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1-2-3-4...
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Oh, just talking gym, just talking lifting, which is fitting, of course, because our mate Jono is bulking tomorrow as he takes on 2 kilos of chicken at an eating challenge.
He's going for the eat first and then work out afterwards if you feel like you're up to it.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting method, and good luck to him. Lots of protein in those chickens. He's going for a palmy challenge. So we're talking about any old eating challenge here, anything where you reckon you're a bit of a big dog, and if you've got your name on a wall, I'd love to hear about that.
Well, let's hear from Ethan. Ethan, you've conquered an eating challenge involving a burger.
Yeah, I did the Misty's Burger Challenge in Perrine a couple of years ago. Oh, I don't think they do it anymore, but it was eight patties, eight rations of bacon, eight bits of cheese. Oh. I think there was four bits of bun in there. And it had to be done in 14 minutes and 30 seconds.
It makes me feel sick. How long did you smash it in?
Oh, I just got it in time. I got the last bit of patty, which tasted like cardboard, down and washed it down with a bit of Coke and felt sick for ages. It was probably the most regrettable thing I've probably done. The next day was probably just as bad. I felt crook.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, you love Misty's. Remember that time we went there after basketball one time? You were like, come on, guys, let's get some food. And you said, I'm not going to Misty's. And everyone made you.
No, I refused to go.
No, you went and you whinged about it.
Yeah.
You went. You were just annoyed.
Well, I'm not going to.
I don't want to eat burger. I'm healthy. Look at you now. Love a burger.
Yeah, but I also ate poached chicken, broccoli, and sweet potato for dinner. Beast mode activated. Look at this beast mode go.
Sure. 133353, have you conquered a food eating challenge or have you maybe just failed?
Beast mode. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Oh my God, do you see what I see? It's what? Guy Montgomery. He's coming in very shortly.
Is he? Is he here?
No, he's not here yet. Hunters and collectors, Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Hope you're having a good Tuesday night. Back into it after the Easter break.
Short week. Get it done. Let's just get it done together.
Let's get done. Let's get done.
And just hang out for the weekend. Live for the weekend. What a great way to live.
And for everyone in Tassie, happy Easter Tuesday.
What's with that?
I don't know.
What are they getting extra Tuesdays for?
I reckon Tassie would have a few eating challenges though, don't you reckon, Ollie?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes. Segway?
Yeah.
Good segue. I reckon Thanks. They would, Tom. Couple of bigger blokes down there, probably. And ladies, to be fair. Don't want to pick one side. 133353, eating challenges. Eating good. Challenges.
Good segue. Nice
What have you done? Where is your name plastered? What have you achieved? Mm. Our mate Jono's going for a challenge tomorrow lunchtime. He's going to report back to us, see how he goes.
Mm.
Billy, what have you done?
Hey, it was a 1 kilo tomahawk steak. You get 500 grams of wedges, 500 grams of veggies, and 500 grams of deep-fried onion rings.
Oh, no way. That is 1.5 kilos of food other than the steak.
Yeah.
How long did you have to do it in?
You get 45 minutes, but I did it in 28.
Oh, my God!
And you eat for free?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you get the feed for free, you get a t-shirt and stuff like that.
But how many times?
It was actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty funny when we went there because a mate of mine, he actually said to me, "If you like, I'll pay for it if you can do it." So he, there's no way he would have been able to do it. So he wanted the t-shirt. He wanted his name on the wall. So
how many times have you worn the t-shirt, or does he actually get the t-shirt?
He actually got the t-shirt. It wouldn't have fit me. It's a small outfit, double XL.
Yeah, right. How many times has he worn the t-shirt?
Oh, just about every time I see him.
Really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he wears it all the time.
Because I feel like with novelty shirts, you kind of, you know.
Yeah. Billy, how sick were you afterwards?
Oh, I felt pretty bloated. My stomach was stomach as hard as a rock, but after that was pretty good.
It can't be good for you.
Yeah.
I'd like a doctor's opinion on this, by the way. 133353, if you're a doctor who's got anything about, you know, overfeeding your stomach
so
and what
much
that
food.
Does to you. Or a dietitian,
I've
I suppose.
I've got a World War II anecdote about this stuff, if you want to hear it. It's kind of full on.
Yeah, let's do the full on one stuff, and then we'll get into Michael.
This is full on, but have you heard about concentration camp survivors when the Americans liberated some of the camps of prisoners? They were so starved, they gave them food. And they were hungry and stuff, of course, and so they ate a lot of food, and some of them died because your stomach can, their body couldn't handle the amount of food.
Wow.
And so, you know, there is a risk, this is very different, but that can happen where your body's not ready to eat that much food and you just fill it up.
Man, that's sad.
Heavy stuff, but a good little bit of info, bit of history.
Thank you for that,
bit
Ollie.
Bit of history, guys, you're welcome.
Hello, Michael.
How are you going?
Good, Michael.
That's good.
What'd you eat?
I did a burger challenge last year in the States with my niece. It was a kilo burger, super duper large chips, and about a gallon of Coke.
Did you think he was going to say Zupa Duper? Because I did. I was like, oh, they threw a Zupa Duper in there.
Definitely didn't. That wouldn't be very impressive.
No.
But so a kilo burger, is that just the beef?
That was just the beef, yeah. And the bun and the salad and tomato. And then it was the chips.
So was the bun a proportionate size to the to a huge patty, or was it all stacked up high?
It's stacked up high.
Oh, one patty, or it took a few?
No, I think it was about three patties from memory.
Ugh. Are you a big boy, Michael?
No, I'm just 95 kilos and 6 foot tall, so I'm not massive, but
yeah.
Need a fair bit.
How did you feel afterwards?
Wasn't too bad after the burger, but you know, the next day you sort of paid the price a bit.
Yeah, that porcelain.
Oof. Yeah, dropping
the kids off at the pool.
That's what they say.
Mick, this is the last one, mate. What'd you do? What did you eat?
No, he's a competitive eater. That's why we've got him on the phone, Ollie. Mick, you're a competitive eater. You train for these types of events.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Do you get money for that, or is this, you know, kind of a...
You win the free feed, you win the T-shirts and stuff.
How many eating challenges have you done?
Need to eat.
How many eating challenges?
I've done about over 40, 30 or 40. I've won 34, but I've done a few more.
Jeez, you're doing all right. What's the biggest thing you've eaten?
The biggest challenge I've actually completed is a 2.5 kilo challenge.
Oh.
It was a kilo and a half of chicken parma and then a kilo of chips.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
And what's the worst result you've had on your body?
I'm just throwing up the next day, or you get the runs. So
get the runs.
Myself a few hours later, if it doesn't want to stay in, or
how do you train for it?
Well, generally eating lots of food and stretching your stomach with water. But it's just know how much you can eat. If you can only eat a kilo of food, don't do a challenge bigger than a kilo. If you can eat two,
do it.
You got to know how much you can put in your stomach before you can do a challenge.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Tom, what's the biggest thing you've eaten?
Oh, do you really want to know? It would be Friday night at the Laird.
I'm sorry I asked. I'm sorry to everyone. I'm sorry.
That's right, mate.
I meant food-wise.
Oh, food.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh,
God.
Jeez, I thought we were turning into Naughty After Nine. Hey, up next, Guy Montgomery, all the way from New Zealand. He's going to come in here. We're the comedian's second home. Chat to him after this. This is Longview, Green Day, Triple M's, Tom and Ollie. Smoke on the Water, Deep Purple. Before that, what do we have?
It was by Green Day.
It was. It was called Longview, Green Day.
The super clean edit.
Thank you very much, Guy Montgomery, who is in here with a comedian's second home. He's doing a couple of festivals. You're on the Melbourne International Comedy Festival right now, and then you've got Sydney Comedy Festival coming very soon in May. Guy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for both welcoming me and repeating that information to
me. No worries.
It's always good to be across everything at all times.
Well, you didn't know you were on this show until tonight, did you?
No, that's true. Actually, there was a bit of a marketing... programming mishap.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't be happier to be here. Can I say that?
Yeah,
good. I got into a cab. I raced over here.
Yeah.
Shafiq, my driver, he's a fan now. He's listening to Triple M.
Oh, good.
He was criticising David O'Doherty's keyboard playing.
Oh, no. Was he?
Well, David's actually very good.
Yeah.
Well, you try telling Shafiq that. He was furious.
Didn't like the keyboard playing.
Oh. What's he doing on that bloody keyboard? He said it sounds like a ringtone from the 90s.
Well, it is a keyboard from 1986.
That's the gag, Sharif.
Shafiq, and he's still listening. I know for a fact he's listening.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
Well, big shout out.
Huge shout.
And now, talking Uber or cab here, Guy?
I was trying to get an Uber, but I'm locked out of Uber. So I downloaded 13 cabs.
One three cabs.
13 cabs.
I don't know, 1-3 cabs.
It could be 13 cabs. Same thing.
13 cabs is better. Better than 1 and 3 cabs? 13.
Why are you
it's
locked out of Uber?
It's 9 more.
What's the deal?
Yeah, why are you locked out of Uber?
Oh, I've been... shitting in the cars. No.
You got a rating of 0.5. No, and they
I've been moving around from different cars. I've been between America, Australia, and New Zealand the last sort of 8 months.
Yeah,
big dog.
And if you don't change your phone number over, they get confused. Oh. And then my old phone died.
Oh.
And I've been trying to get back in, but they go, no, we're sending a text to your number. It's just some old dead SIM card.
Oh, you got burner phones, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, because of the huge amount of drugs I sell on the site, it's very important I maintain multiple cell phones at all times.
Good satirical comedy there.
Yeah. Very good.
Parody.
Yeah.
we've come grinding to a halt now.
No. Let's keep the conversation going.
We did say we'd have a lot of fun during that song.
Yeah.
And I feel like we already are.
Yeah.
Tom, can I just set you back to the start of the chat with Guy just now?
Please,
I feel like most radio shows have a sound they play an intro sound when you have a guest on. Do we have one of those?
We don't. I can make one up.
Yeah, don't do it now. I'm just saying in future.
Is that good? Like a dog bark?
I liked it, but I tell you, Shafiq will probably be absolutely fuming.
What do you think he'd like to hear then?
Probably sort of 2000, mid-2000s keyboard.
If I just type in keyboard.
It's more of a noughties keyboard kind of guy.
Keyboard, nothing comes up in all audio.
Well, we'll just stick to the dog then, eh?
Yeah? You like that? Guy Montgomery.
Yeah, woof, yeah, woof.
We'll find a better one. I reckon we'll find a better one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because that doesn't really signal that there's a guest in here.
Yeah, how about...
Yeah.
That's a squeaky bed.
This is the issue with Guy. Don't get Tom on sounds because he'll get onto them. And
I like that.
He won't stop playing sounds.
Get rooting, get laughing. Guy Montgomery's in the studio.
Yeah. So what should a crowd expect from your show? Rooting and laughing?
Which is called Guy Montgomery doesn't check his phone for an hour.
Yeah, the title's a bit of a misnomer. It's mostly rooting and laughing. what I mostly do is I don't check my phone for the whole show.
People love it.
And a mark of professional respect to the paying customers, yeah. I refuse the wily technological temptress I place within arm's reach. And then I sort of regale them with my hilarious stand-up comedy jokes.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then as the crowd is clapping your final joke, do you get your phone out and go, thank God, I can check it?
No, what I do is I pull a very rusty beard out from behind the stage and a sex doll, and I tell the sex doll jokes while I root it, and the audience walk out.
It'll be a great chance for Tom to play a sound effect. Oh, there he goes. Got it.
You like that?
Actually, you were right the first time there, Ollie. I do check my phone more or less immediately. Can I be honest with you guys for a second?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Rooting and laughing thing was a big charade.
Was it? No.
There's no rooting. There's no rooting or laughing in Guy Montgomery show. Right.
Well, no. 50% charade, 50% reality.
Okay, so there is some laughing in
there's
your
a
show.
Lot of sexual tension. We laughed. Oh, boy, do we laugh.
Oh, jeez. Don't we have some fun?
We do.
We're having some fun already, Guy. Can you hang around a bit longer?
Yeah, gladly. My show's only in an hour.
Yeah, you're a bit late and you're cutting it fine, but contractually, we're going to make you stay
for
another quick chat.
Stick around. More my Montgomery.
Gee whiz.
I'm a professional broadcaster.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Tom and Ollie, they've got questions. We understand if you do too.
What the hell is that?
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Tom. Oh, there we go. Great. Tom, we're chatting to award-winning comedian, improviser and screenwriter Guy Montgomery.
Hey, that was good on sound.
You like that one?
The show has laughing but no rooting. Despite the sound effect, Guy. Yeah. I'm also reading here, though, that you have written and hosted 60 episodes of Fail Army for TV3. I love fail videos.
That's an old bio. I've now written and hosted 100 episodes of Fail Army for TV3.
Is that like videos of people failing?
Almost exclusively.
Well, let's talk more about that after this.
Yeah, I want to hear more about this.
It's new Vance Joy. It's called We're Going Home. Guy Montgomery's in here, I can say that time. Stick around, you're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M, the comedian's second home. Woof, woof. So funny, Guy. You're with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We're the comedian's second home. Jeez, he's funny in the songs as well. Can you believe what he just said?
I didn't hear what you said. Did you say anything?
Yeah, I was very good. It was at your expense. I don't think you'd much care for it at all.
It was fun. It was about how, I don't know, did you wash your shirt with a red sock or something?
Nah, don't even try. Don't try and steal someone else's gag from earlier today and use it on me. Guy, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, you may.
How old are you?
29.
29?
Oh, yeah.
Started comedy at what age?
Oh, 23. It was my 7th year, so I think.
Oh, yeah.
23?
So you weren't funny before that?
23. No. 22 years of hard graft. My God. It's a miracle I could build up the courage to try it.
Hadn't laughed up until 23.
No, I tell you, I have been exceptionally funny the whole time.
Good. And so stand up the whole way. Anything else you're into?
Yes, it's mostly stand up. I also do improv, which is, I understand, quite a filthy, you call it impro, and it's a filthy, disgusting word in Australia.
Oh,
it immediately means that you must be tarred and feathered.
Cool to impro. Let's impro, bro.
You're saying that so ironically.
I don't know.
It's not like the jocks and the cool kids are doing it, maybe. Is that kind of the vibe?
I am both a jock and a cool kid. And
are
I'm
you?
Improvising you're... up a goddamn storm.
Your t-shirt's tucked into your jeans, Guy. I'm not sure if you're a job.
So that everyone can see the outline of my abdominal muscles beneath my t-shirt. You idiot.
What are shoes are you wearing?
Sneakers.
Like sneakers, yeah.
For running.
Bad. Yes, green sneakers and a brown belt.
Yeah. This is the uniform of athletes the world over.
And is that a bum bag that you have there?
Yeah, it's a bum bag. That's where I keep all of my anabolic steroids.
To make you funnier.
No, faster.
Not that you need them.
No, not that I need them at all.
Yeah. Well, you're doing an improv show called Snort with Friends.
Yeah, I am.
But that's a bonus to your other show, which is Guy Montgomery doesn't check his phone for an hour. So the Snort show, which is improv, is on once a week?
Five times a week over the weekends.
You're going to be doing that at Sydney Comedy Festival as well?
No. I mean, I tell you what, Snort is a New Zealand improv show. There's about 12 members. Yeah. There's a fourth year we brought it to Melbourne. And every year we lose tens of thousands of dollars trying to crack the scene. We are not doing that in Sydney as well. This is the first year we've got an audience. Right. It is gold dust.
It's weird, isn't it? Why isn't improv just killing?
Why isn't it more popular, you know?
I don't know.
It's all because of Rose Matafeo, let's be honest.
And muscle man Guy Montgomery.
Sorry,
big dog.
Big jock.
Woof, woof. Squeaky bed.
He's a big dog in this scene. So, Guy, you're enjoying Melbourne. It's a good play, a good host.
Beautiful
of the
city. I love Melbourne.
Yeah.
What I love most of all is going to a cafe and paying $24 for one soft boiled egg. I think that's about market value, isn't it?
Don't tell me he's dissing the cafe scene in Australia.
Hashtag international comedian alert.
Surely Kiwi cafes are the same.
Yeah, almost identical. Yeah. We just have slightly different accents. We sound better.
Awesome. We wish you all the best. Yeah. Any other? So, how's this work? So, the weekends are your improv shows, and
I do two shows five nights a week, right. And one show six nights a week.
Oh God!
I do lots of shows. I'm a professional comedian.
Yeah.
So it's sort of my job. Exactly. So what I do.
yeah, great. Comedyfestival.com.au or sydneycomedyfest.com.au. To see Guy Montgomery not checking his phone for an hour in the show, Guy Montgomery doesn't check his phone for an hour.
Catch up with me for any of the other 23 hours of the day. Feel free to watch me browse the internet.
Last question before you go. You've bought in a spare shirt, T-shirt. Is that for tonight's show?
Yeah, that is for tonight's show.
So the one you're wearing now, which is also, as you said, a joke T-shirt.
Yes.
That's not for tonight. Is it too funny?
I like to be funny both on and off stage in different ways.
Yeah.
So this is sort of a day-to-day comedy T-shirt.
Yeah.
That T-shirt is designated specifically for comedy within the show. It's a good selling, intriguing. I do not mention the T-shirt I'm wearing on stage at all.
And why? What does it say on the T-shirt?
Bazinga!
You're going to watch the new version, which is, what's it called, Little Sheldon?
Little Sheldon.
Young Sheldon.
I don't even know what show the T-shirt's from. I just like the word.
Bazinga.
Oh, well, right. I'm going to come see you guys. That was fun.
Good fun.
Too much fun, Guy Montgomery.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Hey, take your sand pal, you fancy bastard, and get out of here.
Go and do a show, mate. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M, the comedian second home. Aussie Crawl, beautiful people, Triple M, Tom and Ollie. So good to have
James Rain, by the way, on Kennedy Malloy earlier today, playing some live music.
Yeah, catch up via the Triple M app on that one and hear their chat with James Rain. I'm guessing they've put it in the catch-up. You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, there was crowds here at the studio watching it, Tom.
There certainly was. Guy Montgomery, though, as well. So nice.
Loved that.
Go see his show if you're in Sydney or Melbourne.
And I hope Shafiq liked it as well. Driving the 13 cabs.
13 cabs. How about this for a headline? 13-year-old kid somehow survives 12 hours in LA's toxic sewer system.
Yes. Let's get serious, Tom. This stuff is intense. It's a bit of a Shawshank Redemption.
It's a pretty cool story, though. All right. So this kid, he's 13 years old. His name's Jesse. He was playing with some fellow kids on top of a series of wooden planks, as Ped TV has reported, in a park, when one of the planks collapsed, causing him to fall 8 meters into fast-moving sewage. Do you call it sewage or sewage?
I think it's you can. That's a, they're different words.
They're different words.
Yeah.
What's sewage?
I don't know the difference. They're probably the same thing. But
and what's sewage?
I think they're the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you learn something new every day.
There you go.
How about that?
But don't jump on slats in a park in LA, because it's weird that the underneath wooden slats or I guess like outdoor floorboards, it would just fall straight to sewage.
It's ridiculous.
Or sewage.
Or sewage. The kids notified emergency services. There was a 12-hour search. They reckon that someone in there could only survive for like an hour or so because of the crazy gases that are involved in having a sewage or sewerage system.
Insane in the methane, Tom, you could say.
Oh, I wouldn't have made
a Wu-Tang Clan reference.
No, just a light reference when we're talking about something.
So, oh, well, the kid's alive. He survived. Didn't he? Did he?
Well, let's read on.
No, he did. The headline was, 13-year-old kid somehow survives 12 hours in LA toxic sewer system.
Well, apparently they were able to find him 12 hours later, yeah.
And he came out, he dug a hole through the wall and he landed in the river and he came out and he bought an island and retired as Andy Dufresne.
No, that's a...
as a 12-year-old.
That's a different... That's a film. It's a film.
One of the best films.
How about this? They hose sewage off his body and washing out his nose and eyes with saline when he got out because it's just like he couldn't do it. Rescuers credited Jesse's ability to find breathable air while being swept around at approximately 24 kilometers per hour as key to his survival. 24 Ks. That's a fast moving sewage or water slide.
No, it's a fun water slide. Water park.
Not that fun. When you're covered in poo and wee. And everything else.
If the curving and the downward sloping is such a way that you can enjoy it, that's a good bonus.
You know what? We should get in touch with 13-year-old Jesse Hernandez and go, hey, mate, was the sewerage system that you're in as fun as a water park? No, Ollie, you sicko.
I don't remember my opening question. Hey, Jesse, was it fun?
Or was it insane in the methane?
Insane in the methane?
Look, how about this though? 133353. Have you ever been a missing person?
Yeah. Oh wow.
This may be heavy stuff.
Okay, we're going that way.
This may be heavy stuff. But were you a missing person?
Like Jesse for 12 hours. Missing person.
Maybe it was 12 hours, maybe it was two. Maybe someone called the cops and you arrived 2 days later because it was like an episode of The Hangover or something.
Yeah. It was a false alarm, maybe.
133353. If you were ever a missing person, we have questions.
Not fun though, Tom, being covered in piss, is it? Wouldn't be good, would it? Or would it?
Huh?
That's it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sounds like you, in the past, you've...
Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, don't. Oh, that's my pumpkin field.
Oh, don't.
Tonight.
What are you doing? Like, the music is an important part of the show, and you're like F-grade comedy doesn't add to it.
Doesn't it?
No. Nah.
You sure?
No one's going, I hope there's a pumpkins gag at the end of this song. What? Like, it's not like a children's Halloween show.
Yeah. Where was the wee? We'll be asking in Naughty After Nine very soon. But 133353, were you a missing person?
Were you a missing person after 13-year-old kid Jesse Hernandez fell through a playground into a sewage system in Los Angeles? Mm. And was lost for 12 hours.
That's insane in the methane.
He was going through the water slide system that is underground.
We are that show.
In LA. And he had a bit of fun, apparently, but was also happy to get rescued.
It never says anywhere that he had a bit of fun.
He reached speeds of 24 kilometers an hour. And at the end, his hair was quite windswept. And he had a big smile on his face.
No.
When he got out.
No, you're talking about someone who's been on a roller coaster or a ride at Wet and Wild Water World.
Yes, that's what I was sort of getting at. Now, it seems like missing persons is not a common thing.
Nah.
I wanted to get stuck into Belle, our producer, and say, Belle, no one's called up for missing persons, but someone just in time has called up.
Yeah, hey, Nick.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good, mate. You're 20 years old and you've been a missing person.
Yeah, I have actually. It was about 2 years ago now. I'd been out of the mates for about a week or so. I didn't actually own a phone at the time. I went out into town to buy cigarettes one day, and I had a group of three police officers come up and ask me, oh, you know, did you know that you've been a missing person for the last 3 days?
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Man, who put you on the list?
Yeah, who made you a missing person?
It was actually my mum. She'd been trying to contact me for a couple of days and didn't realise that I didn't have a phone number.
So you were just, there was no issue, you were just had no phone?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's a bit of a shock to me, actually.
Yeah. Does it get juicier? I mean, is there any juice to it, or is it just a big...
Nothing at all, really. I was just shocked to be found out that I was a missing person.
But, Nick, how old were you when you were at this mate's place?
I was 18.
And so you didn't think to tell your mum that you were at your mate's place for a week?
I was living out of home.
Okay. Bell, what's going on here, mate?
Yeah,
we've asked some missing person stories. Yeah. I mean, Nick was at a mate's place. I mean, it's not. Yeah. That's not. Who's going to be shocked at that story?
He was listed as a missing person.
Yeah, in what is I'd call a clerical error.
All right, well, we'll just go no calls instead then.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't get attitude at us, mate. Just if we ask for real missing people,
yeah, put through the filter.
Don't.
What? Even just tell Nick to jazz it up a bit. I don't know. Yeah. You know, at least get him to
it's
lie.
It's a good story.
Is it?
Yeah, his mum thought he was missing. Nah, he was right. At a mate's place.
You know, if you were hearing that at the pub, you'd then go, who wants a round? Does anybody else want a round, you know?
Tom.
I'll get one.
Oh, what?
I'll get one.
Oh, okay, great.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Hey, before we get into Naughty After Nine, we've just been talking about missing persons. We asked, were you a missing person? And Spencer on 133353, you were reported missing for 3 days.
Yeah, that's right, fellas. Long story short, I was about 14 and snuck off to a girl's house. She had like a bungalow.
Oh, Naughty After Nine.
And so I just told my mum I was going to a mate's house. And yeah. And what happened was, the plan was to leave early in the morning. And sure enough, they had a big family do. So, and it went on for quite a bender. So I got stuck in the bungalow. I couldn't get out. And next, you know, well, I didn't know, but mum had contacted the police. And I lived in West Heidelberg, so they did a search of Darabin Creek and
oh my God.
Got on to the school and... Yeah, when I finally showed my head, my mum was sort of happy to see me, but
so you were kind of stuck in.
Did I cop it?
Basically, a one night stands family party bender.
yeah, pretty much. Because what happened was they were car enthusiasts. So what happened was what I didn't know is they had a few cars over and they were working on them for a show, but. What happened was then a few more rocked up, then they started hitting the drink, then, you know, it just went on and on. I got stuck in the actual, in the bungalow in the backyard.
How do you get stuck in a bungalow?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, what happened was the bungalow was in the backyard, and what happened is just outside the bungalow, they had a big massive, it was like I reckon it was probably like a free car garage, and that's where they were doing all the work and the partying.
Where can you get out?
Well, for me to get out, I had to get out of the door, which was facing where everyone was.
And you weren't allowed to be there?
No.
You stayed in there for 3 days.
Yep, 3 days, mate. 3 days. And
how did you go to the toilet and stuff?
Well, we won't go into that one.
No, okay, hang on. How did you go to the toilet? Because we're about to talk emergency lavatories or toilet stops. How did you go to the toilet, Spencer? Content warning.
She snuck me a bucket which went into her cupboard.
And this party honestly just kept going for overnight and overnight.
Hey, mate, it was West Heidelberg, man. They were wild.
The northeast suburbs of Melbourne, and it was a loose time.
Brilliant stuff, Spencer.
What year was this, Spencer? How long ago?
Let's see. I'm 47 now, and I was 14.
Oh, God. Jeez. So it was just really loose back in the day.
Jeez. That's insane stuff.
That's a great story.
Love it, Spencer.
Ridiculous story.
We'll be talking emergency lavatory stops very soon, but up next, I've been told that we have a missing person who is missing for 2.5 years.
I hope it's naughty, Tom.
It probably won't be. We'll grab that story up next. This is Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Oh, Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. Look, Naughty After Nine is usually the spot. We're just holding off for just a tick. It's non-Naughty After Nine right now, as we're asking on 133353, were you a missing person?
I wouldn't be so quick to, you know, discount the naughty aspect, Tom. I think with a bit of hard work from us and just a bit of nuance, we can inject some naughtiness into the conversation.
Okay. You
know, that's all it takes.
You want to
a bit of jazz, bit of spice. If we can just sex it up a little bit with Ben here. We've got a great story apparently from Ben on 133353, which is about missing persons. Ben, is there anything sexy about your missing persons instance?
Oh, I'm going to disappoint you, boys. No, not at all.
Okay, all right, we'll make it sexy.
Won't play the content warning then.
well, you never know, though. So just...
Okay, great. Ben, tell us, why were you? Well, how long were you a missing person for?
Just under 2.5 years.
Just under 2.5 years.
That beats 3 days, Ben, by a long shot.
Were you stuck in a bungalow as well because you couldn't go out because the parents were watching because you were having sex with a young girl?
No, or, definitely
the same
not.
Age.
The same age. Yeah, sure. But...
So what was your scenario?
Well, I was working. I can't say where I was working, but I was working at a place. So I ended up losing my job. I had a bit of money saved, and I thought, I need a holiday.
Okay.
Yes.
And, travelled from New South Wales up to Queensland.
Yeah.
Then made myself, hitchhiked over to the Northern Territory.
Oh, man.
Hitchhiked back down through to New South Wales. Then went down to Melbourne, stayed down there for a little bit, got bored back there, down there. Moved back up to Queensland.
Okay, think about the movements. Yeah. The point is that you just ran away. I half love this idea of just the freedom of running away. I think it's exciting, but also it's also pretty crazy, Ben.
Yeah, didn't you have family and loved ones?
Yeah, I did. So this is way back before mobile phones were actually just handed out everywhere.
When was this? What
you have
decade?
To buy a mobile phone.
Well, I'm 32.
Yeah.
So I was 16 years old.
All right.
That's so when you had your big Nokia bricks.
About the year 2000, right?
Yeah.
Y2K bug kicking in.
Yeah. So I didn't think about family or anything. I just lost my job, got a little bit down and depressed, and decided I need a holiday, need to get away from everything.
Dude.
So packed a bag full of clothes and on my way.
So who reported you as missing?
My mum and dad.
And so you didn't think to get in contact with them at all in the 2.5 years?
Well, I did, sort of. Like, I sent letters.
Oh, so they should have known, or you tried to get in contact?
Oh, well, I mailed them addresses like, hey, I'm all right. That's about it.
Ben, that's really selfish of you in one sense, though, isn't it?
Oh, God, Judge Judy over here.
It really is, but like looking back on it, like it was a terrible move, and I should never have done it. But I had some experiences that I'll never do that again with. So.
Yeah, that's true. So when you rocked up back home, what was that experience like? What was the reunion like?
It was mixed feelings. So Bob was crying, obviously. Dad didn't speak to me for another 3-4 months.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an intense thing. Family started coming around, making sure that I was back, because we live pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
And, feeling through the whole family. A lot of people don't still speak to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was sort of one of those things, you know, like you've done something really bad towards the family. Family dishonors you.
Yeah. Well, because Ben, in theory, you could have, got all the positive gains from that thing, from getting away, just told them you were going.
Yeah, I understand that now.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Back then, I wasn't really like there.
So you were 16, so you got around. What was some of the highlights?
Well, the first time I got into a pub, I was 16 years old. That's one of the biggest highlights. First beer, 16.
Sorry. You watched the movie Into the Wild, you know, that brilliant epic where this guy's traveling out by himself and the profound moments that he has.
Hunting bears and elks.
And you're saying that the proudest moment of your 2.5 trip away was getting into a pub.
Yeah, well, that was the proudest moments. I had a lot of down moments. Like, I met a couple of guys and we ended up smoking a bit of weed. And then I went back to that guy's house. We smoked some more weed and I'm pretty sure that was laced. And I went really grey and there's a lot of...
Yeah, right.
Greened out.
Yeah, right.
Paranoia.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for sharing with us and I hope you're not just going missing these days.
No, I'm all grown up now, mate.
Do you have a family of your own?
No, I don't have a family of my own. I'm in the work for that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Got a partner?
Yeah, I got a partner.
Nice.
That's kind of in the works.
Oh,
great.
Cool.
It's all in the
new
works.
Relationship. Yeah. Well,
that could
done.
Be. That sounds like down the track things could get a bit naughty with Ben and his his partner. So just get that content warning out, Tom.
Nothing naughty about that story.
That sax bit?
I'll play it next. How about that? Let's just play a song now. It's Powderfinger already gone. Up next, Emergency Toilet Stops. Tom and Ollie, Triple M.